Don't give up radio show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Yes, he will. He will make it all right. So happy to be back with you live tonight. It's me, Jackie Wayans, your host. And you are listening to Don't Give Up Radio, and we've got a super special show for you tonight. I think it's super special because after speaking with this wonderful woman, I was so inspired and once again reminded about how great and how wonderful the God we serve is, that no matter where you are in your life, no matter what your starting point was, no matter what you're going through, as long as you keep your life in his hand, he will take you through the wormhole, through the darkness, and out to the other side. So tonight we're going to be speaking with a beautiful woman inside and out, life coach and author, Shanice Mullins. We're going to call her Dr. M for tonight. Dr. M, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, and it's good to be here. Thank God for the opportunity.
Wonderful. I hear you loud and clear, so let's not waste a second because we've got so much to cover, and I know it's going to be a wonderful blessing. So you call yourself a holistic life coach. What I would like you to start us doing is really just explain to our listeners what that is, how is it different from just a regular life coach?
Well, a lot of life coaches, they touch on a lot of things concerning finances, how to better your life financially. As a holistic life coach, I touch on the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical aspect of an individual. I really believe it's important to go back before you can go forward. And I really believe that it's important that we have a renewed mind, John, when I'm coaching holistically. Because the word lets us know that above all things, that he wished we prosper, even as our soul prosper. And so it's more than just touching on finances when you're coaching someone. It's a spiritual, mental, emotional thing as well.
Absolutely. I can definitely get that and relate to that. When you talk about a renewed mind or, you know, renewal, what are some of the things that you've come across that you find that a particular interest when you're dealing with women?
Identity. One of the things I touch on a lot is identity crisis. Us not knowing who we are as women of God, us not knowing who and whose we are, and just the aspect of self-respect. If we are to get respect from anyone or receive respect, then it has to start within. It has to start with us respecting ourselves first and foremost. So those are some of the things that I really, really see and feel that it's important when you're talking about renewing of the mind and being renewed.
Mm. So now you're actually producing a book called The Processed Woman, and it's going to deal with some of these issues. Can you talk to us a little bit more about who the book is for? You know, what is it that you're really trying to relay? What do you hope will be accomplished from the book?
I realized back in 2012 when I was going through some situations and had come through some situations that God let me know that my purpose was on the other side of what I was going through. And that's the message that I want to relay to the women or anyone who reads this book, because I've had a few men tell me that they've read it as well. But the message that I want to get across is to understand that there is purpose in our pain. And on the other side, when we make it through that situation, that we will understand that there's greater glory that will be revealed in us through that pain, through that painful situation. I'm hoping that every woman that reads this book will get the keys that are in this book to make it through and see the purpose on the other side.
You know, keys are very important, and I remember when I was in distress and I was looking for a way out, I remember praying and saying, Lord, I need the keys. I need the keys of understanding. I need the keys of wisdom. I said, there's got to be keys to help me get from where I am right now to where you want me to be, but I just can't see it. I don't know how to touch on it. I don't know where to reach for it. And, you know, when you pray to God with a sincere heart, open the doors and start to reveal to you the steps and the processes. But sometimes, you know, you're dealing with women that don't even know they need keys, to ask for keys, to look for keys. They just feel like this is the way life is. I've got to hustle. I've got to play the game. I've got to, you know, this is real life, you know. And so how do you begin to deal with the woman who's very raw, dealing with life as it is on a daily basis? She's down and out. She's, you know, used to the hardships of life. How do you begin to coach that life?
I get right on her level and explain to her that I was her. I was that lady that father went to prison. I was that lady that grew up in the projects. I was a latchkey kid. I was pretty much raising my brother. Had a baby at a very young age. I was that teenage mother. And I know just what it is to feel like you have no way out, to see no way out. And that's the good thing about, as you said, knowing those keys to the kingdom, knowing those things that will take you step by step to get to the other side. Because one thing I always emphasize is that people see a cleaned up product when mm-hmm. they're looking at me. They don't understand that I was that project, as they say, that project chick or that girl that was in the hood. Mm. What you see now is that greater glory. You see the anointing now. And it's just, I was that person. And so to deal with someone, I believe you have to get on their level to let them know that you've been there, you've done that, and you were able to make it out.
You're absolutely right about that. And I am, you know, I shouldn't be blown away, but at the same time, you're right. We look at the outside package. And so I see your cover of the book, and I see your, you know, hair is perfectly done, and the makeup is, and everything's on point. And I look at you and I'm thinking, what? She was a teen mom. She was, you know, take us back a little bit. Tell me more about your childhood growing up. Who were you before?
Wow. Before I was very unpolished. And I grew up a little sheltered. For quite some time, I was a bit sheltered, and then my father, I'm not ashamed to share it, went to prison, and my mom was left to raise my brother and I, and I'm pretty sure there's people listening tonight that could even relate to that. And we went from the comfortable brick home in the country where I walked on dirt roads and it was safe into the projects and fending for ourselves. So I grew up really quick. I didn't have the after-school ball games or the proms and the different things. I worked every day. I grew up in a home where we gambled every night just to feed ourselves, and I worked every day to buy clothes and help my mom pay bills, and I'm doing this at 14 years old, and to take care of my brother. So there was no childhood for me from the age mm-hmm. pretty much from 12 to adulthood. So there I did fall into being a teenage mom, having two kids by two different baby dads, two different men. So that was my life, growing up trying to be and just trying to survive, doing
right.
whatever it took just to make it and put a meal on the table. So that was my life.
At 14, that responsibility, when you say that you're working and taking care of your little brother, how is that possible? I mean, How were you able to negotiate that? I mean, I hear you saying doing whatever it took. What did that look like?
When you're doing whatever it takes to make it and survive, sometimes you do what you have to do. I don't care if it's selling drugs. I don't care if it was selling my body. Whatever it took to get the bills paid, whatever it took, because when you come home from school and there's nothing on the table but a dollar for you to walk to the store to buy hot dogs because there's no gas in the stove, there's no food there to eat. You do what you have to do to make it. You do what you have to do to eat.
You know, I'm sure there are those who are listening right now who are unfortunately right there. Circumstances of life have allowed it that's the moment that they are living in. And I'm going to play this song, and I wanted to reiterate that though you are in a battle, the battle does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. And if you could trust him and trust that he can lead you out and continue listening to us tonight, you're going to hear that God is powerful and he can turn your life and your situation right around.
Can't feel no hurt
no heartache, no pain that he cannot feel or heal. That's the God that we serve. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and we are speaking with Dr. Shanice Mullins, who just opened the show by sharing with us that, yes, today she is, this day, right now, she is a life coach. She is a holistic life coach, but she didn't just decide to go to college and get her degree in this. She is a young lady who, at a very young age, had her whole world turned around when her dad was arrested, and her mom had to do whatever she could do to survive, leaving her and her little brother to fend for themselves, leaving her to work and miss proms and all the special things of life. But not only that, to find herself in a situation of doing whatever she had to do to put money on the table, to buy clothes for herself and for her brother, whether it was selling drugs, whether it was sleeping with men, and that by the age of 17, she had two kids and as a young mother living in the projects. And this is something that we see around us, and we have all these ideas and all these stories of how people get in these circumstances and what they think and what they feel. But the reality is that sometimes you are in these circumstances at no fault of your own. And this is a young girl whose life was just crushed and changed within instant. And she found herself just doing whatever she could do to survive. And so now, Dr. M, we're with you. You're now 19 years old. What's happening at this point in your life? How is things progressing?
At 19, I was, as you said, with two children and thinking, I have to find a way out of this. I started thinking, this cannot be it for me. This cannot be the life for me. So at 19, I married a man that I barely knew. I think I knew him 4 months. And I just looked at it as my ticket out of the hood. I mean, I looked at it as my way out.
You know, I've done this show. I've been doing it for about 4 years now, and that is something that I have heard so often from young women who were in either abusive home lives or just struggling with identity or in painful situations, that within a few months of knowing someone, they get hitched, they get married. And, you know, how did that work out for you? Usually it doesn't end well. So what did your situation last?
No. I mean, it lasted about 10 years. But shortly after we got married, I married him. He was in the military. Shortly after we got married, we moved away from my family. You know, there was a transition. I moved totally away from my family. I mean, every aspect of my life was controlled financially, mentally, the mental and physical abuse. You go seven or eight years without seeing your family. And I ended up having more children. I went seven or 8 years without seeing my family, no communication. And in between that time, believe it or not, I had three more children. So now here I am with five children.
Okay, so things don't appear to be looking up for you, unfortunately. So tell me, you know, where did it go? How did it progress? Did things get better? Did they get worse?
Well, actually, they got worse because it was a time when we went from Christianity, then we went to Nubian Moors, to Black Israelites. So we had all these different transitions of religion in my house. Mm-hmm. And it went from there to the controlling issues increasing, and it just got worse. It didn't get better.
Yeah, and what you're talking about here are really religious practices. You didn't really have a personal relationship with the Lord yet.
No. Not at this time.
How were your kids in all of this? Were they aware of the abuse or the emotional turmoil that you were going through?
No, they were not. Actually, I tried to shelter them from it because I had experienced it and seen it in my family when I was younger. So I tried to shelter my children from that. So whenever there was a situation going on, we would go down the road or they would not be there. And I just tried to shelter them from having to see what I was going through. mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Well, I'm wondering, because you said that you were in this marriage for 10 years. It's progressively getting worse. And I always, you know, ask the question, was there a point in time that you thought about leaving, that you thought about maybe, you know, running away with the kids or, you know, reaching out for help?
There was a time when I did not want to leave because I did not feel that I could raise 5 kids by myself. I did not see how I could do it. And the strange thing about it is I was the breadwinner, but my finances were controlled.
So what were you doing for a living?
I was a mortgage broker. For a long time, I ran my own mortgage business. I was a loan officer. I was a mortgage broker. I was also a real estate investor. And there was months at times when I would make $30,000, $40,000 a month, and my finances were controlled. I was just mentally at a state that I did not see a way that I could get out of this situation and raise my children, even though financially I was bringing in more money.
And every dime was being controlled by your husband.
Yes, by my husband and different individuals who he chose that needed to control our finances.
This is amazing. I mean, it really shows you the power of a decision and how we've heard many times the power of a made-up mind, because you couldn't see yourself or perceive yourself as being able to raise your children on your own when in actuality that's what you were doing. You know, you were the breadwinner, right? You were bringing home the money. You were taking care of
them. Yes, I was bringing home the money, but even though I ran the business, keep in mind, I was a dedicated wife who thought and was being told that if I needed to be submitted to my husband, and if I did anything contrary to that, I was going to hell.
Okay.
So I submitted the finances and different things to, and just pretty much did what I was told that I needed to do.
So when you talk about being controlled, it's not wasn't just physical and financial control. But this is a type of spiritual manipulation to get you to believe that you are actually sinning against God, and that if you don't do everything according to the way that you're told, that you're going to go to hell.
Right.
Wow. Wow, that's oppressive way to live, oppressive way to live, sister. I feel for you in that so very much, and I'm trying to see. I'm really supposed to play a song now, but I don't really want to. I want to kind of go a little further with this because it's important for women to understand, and it's true for men too, the power of a made-up mind. You have the ability to make decisions. God has given us reign here on this planet as human beings. We have the power and the ability to make decisions. And a lot of times we're praying for answers that we can actually make ourselves. And what was that moment, that point, where you decided enough?
I still remember just as if it was yesterday. I was standing upstairs looking out the window, and I'm crying, and God spoke to me. Just as clear as I'm speaking right now, I have not required this of you. Whom the Son of Man has set free is free indeed.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, I am mentally bound. That's why it's so important that our minds be renewed in the truth of who God really is and who we are in him. Because mental manipulation is just as powerful as physical manipulation.
Most definitely.
You don't recognize it.
I hope you're hearing this, guys, because it's very, very, very powerful and very true. And with that, I will definitely play this next track because it says, I know the plans I have for you. And, you know, we often quote Jeremiah, I believe it's 29:11. I know the plans I have for you to prosper you, you know, to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. And that's what God says to us. And a lot of times, you know, the beauty of your story, what you just shared about hearing him as clear as day, is that you weren't yet his child, so to speak. You know, you were in the forms of religion, but you didn't yet have that personal relationship with him. But your heart is what God looks at. He really looks at the heart. He knows where you are, and he spoke to you in that moment to start to move you in the direction and in the process where he wanted to get to you. So you are, you know, God's no respecter of persons. You're not alone. So I know for a fact that if he would do that for you, that anyone who's listening to this, whether tonight or whether it re-airs and they're hearing it from a friend or something like that, it is to let you know that there is a loving God that desires for you to be in a better place, desires for you to be free. And in order to get that freedom, all you have to do is, I always say it on the show, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. That's where it begins. And that's true salvation. And you begin there, and then you have his spirit, you read his word, and you will begin to grow and develop. But I don't want to jump the gun, but be encouraged and know that he has a plan for your life.
He's speaking. He's pouring himself right now for you. Oh, listen, this is what God is saying. For I know the plans I have for you. He said, I know just what you're going through, so when you can't see what tomorrow holds and yesterday is through, remember, I know the plan I have for you. That's what the Lord said. He said, see, I know the plan I have for you. And you, and you, and you, and see, I know just what you're going through. Oh, yes, I do. So when you can't see what tomorrow holds, and yesterday is through, remember, I know the plan I have for you. And here's the plan. This is what he says.
You can't figure it out.
Cause I know my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I know the plans I have for you. He said, I know. You don't have to be afraid. I know. He knows. You give him praise if you believe that in this house tonight.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
God is making a way for you right now. I hope you felt that as it was playing, because I know I did right as I was listening in my seat, and I really hope you're hearing this and enjoying it. And if you are, be sure to go to my Facebook page, Don't Give Up Radio, and give it a like so that you can stay in tune with daily words of inspiration as well as the guests that will be joining us, and get more of this so that every week you can get built up and get a little stronger every single day to know that God has a plan for you and he is working it out for your good. So, Dr. M, you're back, and I want to know, the day came, you decided that it hit the road, Jack, and you're out of that relationship, you know. What happens next?
I get out of this relationship, and you have to keep in mind that I started going to church really seriously at 19 years old. I thought I had a relationship with God, but I didn't really have a relationship with God. What I found is that I was doing what everyone else said I should be doing. Mm. Everyone else was telling me what's the right way to do this thing with God. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's anything wrong with learning or hearing from a man or woman of God, because how do my people hear? They hear from a teacher or a preacher. But I needed to learn after I went through what I went through. It was imperative for me to build that relationship with God. And up until then, up until from 19 to 32 years old, I did not have a serious relationship with God. Mm. I was in church, as they say, I put on church down south. I put on church. I put on my church clothes and put on my church face. But I didn't really have that serious personal relationship with God. And after that situation, after marriage failing, and I went from one relationship right into another relationship with another pastor.
You got into another relationship, and this is a pastor now.
Right.
That sounds good. That sounds, you know, like you are now coming to a more settled place.
Right.
What did that relationship develop into? You know, how's that going?
That was another bad relationship, because it turned into a very adulterous relationship with him sleeping with different women in the church. Actually, to be very honest with you, bringing different STDs to my front door. Mm. And it was a very sensitive situation, because I had a sister who died of HIV. And so it was a very serious situation. But when you're in church and you're dealing with someone and you're still listening to, but God is going to fix it, and I am this and that in God, and you need to listen to me, and all this mental stuff that you go through. And so I guess I went from the frying pan, as they say, straight into the skillet.
So you're if he's a pastor, then you're a pastor's wife. And there's a certain amount of responsibility that comes with that in terms of duties that you have to carry out in the church. And you said that some of the women he was sleeping with were in the church. So
yes,
there was an awareness that this was going on?
Yes. Actually, some of the women would actually were still there in the ministry, and I was teaching women that had slept with my husband.
Mm.
And so that's another situation, another phase of what we see in ministry that people don't discuss.
And it's another type of humiliation and stripping as a woman that you're going through. It's another layer to add on to what you dealt with before, because with all the litany of things you said about your previous husband, you did not mention adultery. But now you're in this relationship where you wouldn't expect that that would be the case, and you're now not only dealing with the adultery, not only dealing with having to see these people on a regular basis, but now you're also talking about bringing STDs to your front door. And this is also something that's not talked about a lot, because there's a lot of Christian women who have kept themselves from marriage, who saved themselves, and they find themselves with STDs or even in horrible situations with HIV or AIDS. And so, you know, it sounds like I'm going to have you back at some other point, because that's a show in itself, all unto itself, that needs to be discussed, because we do want to be wise and be able to counsel each other appropriately. I do want to give a caveat to those who are listening. You know, we are not at all bashing pastors or the church. This is an experience that Dr. M has had personally, and it's unfortunate that it has happened. But one of the things we want to understand is that the church is not a building, nor is it a religious institution. According to the Word of God, the Bible is the body of Christ, and when each of those members come together, we make up the church, and our gifts and our talents and our abilities are pulled together so that we can make a difference and an impact in the world by which we live. That is what is the church. And sometimes we get confused and we say, oh, well, I'm never going to go to church because I don't want to deal with this kind of stuff when I can deal with it at home. People make up the church. So as long as there's going to be people, there's going to be problems. But the Holy Spirit overrides that. And in most cases, there is more beauty, more joy, and more love than you'll ever experience. I'm an only child. So I can tell you that I have personally felt the I am never alone experience through my brothers and sisters in faith, whether I'm here in New York, in Puerto Rico. We just met, and I have a kindred connection to you as my sister. And so that's a beauty that you cannot get anywhere else, not to mention the wonderful love and guidance that the Lord himself gives us. And he didn't leave you without any guidance in this situation either. So what are some of the things that God spoke to you in terms of this relationship and what you should do?
God just, he reassured me when I was laying on that table, tears running down my face. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, my God, I'm married and I'm dealing with these type of situations. He reassured me that I wasn't alone, that he would never leave me, he would never forsake me, but I needed to totally surrender to him.
Mm.
And if I would totally surrender my all and my life to him, that he would give me the desires of my heart.
Mm.
But I needed to totally surrender, and I was not at a point in my life where I was totally surrendered to God. I was totally surrendered to other things. I was totally surrendered to this is the way my husband should be. This is the way my life should be. This is the way my children should be. And in actuality, there was a way that God wanted me to be as a woman of God. He wanted me to understand my own destiny, my own purpose, and he was taking me through a process, and none of that was for me. It was for somebody else.
That is clear. As you just said that right now, I absolutely felt that, and I'm sure someone was blessed by that in that moment, that it took all of that process that you went through to get you to a place of surrender where you just said, yes, Lord, now it's time, just have your way. And, you know, the way you put it is, I need you now, like that song by Smokey Norfolk, you know, I need you right now. And you weren't looking for religion this time. You were looking for the Lord himself and having an intimate relationship with him. How did that begin to evolve? What did that look like?
In 2008, I really began to really press into God. I wanted to know because I said, God, obviously, the way I've been doing this is just not working. It's not right. What am I doing wrong? And he began to let me know through this process that he wanted me to go within, to listen to his voice, seek his face. And it just became clear. It just became more clear to me that he wanted a pure heart from me. He wanted me, my motives needed to be pure towards God. I did not need to, I hate to use such a harsh word, but I didn't need to try to pimp God. I didn't need to try to do this and that and the third to try to get God to do something for me. I needed to have a relationship with him, to love him just because he was God.
Well said. No, I think that word could be appropriately used in this situation. You know, I use Santa Claus a lot. You know, I'm like, you know, we think God is Santa Claus or a genie in a bottle kind of thing, and we use that manipulation, basically. But you were past that at this point. That was not in your mind at all. So what did the healing process start to look like for you?
I began to look at me. That was the first thing. I stopped blaming, okay, my dad wasn't around. Okay, I didn't have a childhood. Okay, I didn't have this and that. I just began to eliminate the excuses and put into place what I needed to do. And what God began to do, he began to reveal to me about the process woman, where I'm going. How am I getting there? He just began to show me this was for this reason, and that was for that reason. All the things, he began to put the pieces together for me. And the only thing I had to do, sister, is sit down, slow down, really get into my word, understand what Jesus was saying. And that process just began to happen for me.
You know, what I love is that this is full circle from the top of the show when we introduced you as a holistic life coach, and you said that, you know, one of the most important things to being holistic is renewing the mind and going backwards before you can go forward, to really look at your past and see the things. And you have lived this. You're not just counseling out of a book. You're counseling out of experience, out of, you know, you're teaching what you have walked through.
Yes, it's a firm conviction. I do believe everything that I say. I'm not just saying it because it sounds good. I'm saying it because I know God as a healer. I know him as a provider. I know the days that I was hungry and he fed me. And he made a way out of no way. And so that's why it's easy for me to share my story, to tell women and men alike, God is able. If he did it for me, he will do it for you.
Amen to that. That is the absolute truth. Absolute truth. And you started doing workshops and training along this line to really help to develop women in terms of understanding this. Talk to us about that period where you go from, you know, sitting at his feet and learning these and then, you know, actually turning to teach it to others.
It was a process where I actually sat back for years. And I applied the things in my book, the steps and the keys, as I call keys to the kingdom. I applied them to my life first. And then I wanted to see, I mean, I guess people could say maybe I was a Dalton Thomas. I don't know. But I wanted to see if these things that I'm teaching, it's not just lip service. If I apply these principles to my own life, will they work? And once I realized this really works, God is not a man that he should lie. He really meant what he said. Mm. And the only thing I had to do is apply the principles, stick to the word and stand on the word. And that's what I did. In my book, it talks about the keys to success, the keys to overcoming, what we need to recognize in ourselves, and then how to apply these principles to our lives. And so I transitioned from applying principles, writing them down for years, applying them to my life, and now sharing it with others.
Okay, all right. So now you've clearly done the work. You're in a good place in your life right now. Would you say that you have completed the process? You are now a process woman at your full bloom.
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. No, I would say it is an ongoing process. Every day I get up, and I use this, I tell people all the time, every day that I get up, I punch fear in the face.
All right.
I punch fear in the face, false evidence appearing real, because I stand on the word. It's days that I still may go home and cry. I'm not perfect. It's days where I used to be lonely. Now I've learned through a process to enjoy my own company. Mm. There was a time that I did not enjoy my own company. You're listening to a woman that having a man was no problem.
Mm.
I didn't know how to love myself. I hated being by myself.
Right.
And now I've learned through this process how to love myself. I enjoy laying around by myself, and it's okay.
It's all right. Yes, it
it's
is.
It's all right.
You know, and I'm planning on having a singles woman show very soon, and I will definitely call you back for that because, you know, it is a very good place to get when you enjoy your own company and being in the presence of the Lord and being at peace. You also touched on something that all, you know, it's very true for many. I've heard it said that Sundays are the loneliest day of the week. And that was coming from the place of, you know, we go to church, we're around saints, we're singing hymns, we're enjoying the presence of God, and we actually forget what we're going through. And then we come home and we put the key to the door, and then we remember what's on the other side, whether it's bills, whether it's an empty refrigerator, whether it's an oppressive relationship, whether it's the fact that we're going to be alone. There are all those things that are waiting for us at behind that door, and that's when we remember. That's when it comes back up. I remember experiencing that myself many Sundays coming home, and for you to say that even though you're in this place right now and you've learned the keys and you're teaching others, you still have moments, you still have struggles. We're all in a process, and that process really won't end until the day that we're standing face to face with our Lord and Maker. But step by step, bit by bit, he is transforming us from glory to glory to be more and more like himself. And that's the beautiful thing. You are not now the little girl from the project that was doing whatever she had to do to make it happen. You're a woman who is now empowering other women to make a difference in their lives, and they know that because you had the background you had, that it's possible. I want you to just share with us, you know, when is the book going to be available, and how can people find out more about you, find out more about the workshop?
Okay, the book is available now, Amazon.com. They can order the book on Amazon.com, as well as visiting the website, theprocessedwoman.com. They can order it there as well. And on the website, they can find out about upcoming events, upcoming seminars and classes that I will be doing. And if they have questions or information, they can call 888-289-8113. But this number is also on the website, theprocessedwoman.com.
Theprocesswoman.com. Make sure you check it out. And there's also workshops there as well, and lots of good resources. I hope your lines just blow up from here, because you have so much to offer. You're such a blessing, and I'm really thankful that we had this time to talk tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blessing and an honor to be on the show.
Well, like I said, we will definitely be calling your name again, and I look forward to that. As for next week, we're looking forward to having an extra special guest. We're looking for Mr. Daniel Winans of the Winans family to be with us, and I will have more information on that on my Facebook page. So once again, go ahead and like my Facebook page, Don't Give Up Radio. That radio has to be on there in order for it to be me, okay, Jackie Wayans. So go ahead and give that a like, and we will be with you next week. Until then, I want you to continue to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all gave his life for you because he said you were. So keep believing, keep trusting, and know that he will turn it around for you.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down. But I still believe it's turning around for me. Around for me. Around for me. Around for me, it's turning around for me.
Around for me.
Can you just say it into the atmosphere?
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
'Cause I
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no room.